This morning we're talking with Karen Hudson. She's a local attorney here in town, and she's also the regent of the local chapter of the Colonel Hardy Murphy of the Daughters of the American Revolution. Did I say all that right?
You did.
Okay,
you did.
Great. So how long have you been a part of that?
Well, I joined the DAR back in the early 90s, but I became the regent 2 years ago, and I'm in my second two-year term.
So what made you want to get involved? Do you have family members who were in the Civil War? What was it?
Well, I do have family members in the Civil War, but also you trace your a Revolutionary War patriot.
Okay.
And so it doesn't have to be someone that fought. It can be anyone that gave aid to the Revolution. So it could be a shop owner. It could be a cook. It could be a soldier. It could be someone that provided water. You know, anybody that gave aid to the cause of the American Revolution. And and my grandmother was in it and encouraged me to join when I first moved to Murfreesboro. And at that time, they met during the day when I was at work and could not get there. Over the years, it's evolved where they do evening meetings, lunch meetings, which allows a lot more people to attend. And then I got real involved when my children were growing up. They have a children's group called the Children of the American Revolution, which is a patriotic organization similar to the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Everything's focused on patriotism. And so that's how I got involved and started coming to the meetings and excellent programs and wonderful projects that they're involved in. I see the DAR doing things I don't see others doing, and I feel that what the DAR does is important.
Genealogy is always so fascinating to kind of trace back your roots, to see where you come from, to see where your family came from. I mean, it's always interesting, especially when you're able to link it to, you know, big things in history.
It is, and that's something I really want to get more into. We have fabulous ladies in our organization that are pretty much experts at that. Nancy Carr is a wonderful local genealogist that helps with a lot of ladies that think they might be able to join the DAR, and she can help them trace their ancestors back to the Revolution and really find out a lot of things maybe that they didn't know. So we do have people that will help you if you're like, I think I've got this stuff, but I don't know. And that's something I'd love to get more involved in, but in some of the things I'm doing now, the DAR has got so many things going on. They just finished their national conference, which is called the Continental Congress in Washington. And so there'll be a lot of new programs coming out. But the three main mission focus areas are historic preservation, education, and patriotism.
For those who live in the South and for those who live in the North, I mean, there's so much history involving the Civil War that I could, you know, if you're, you know, born in America, I could picture that most people have some kind of history or roots with somebody who was in the Civil War in some fashion.
Yep, Civil War, and then of course ours is the Revolutionary War.
Revolutionary War as well. I keep saying Civil War, but yeah, I mean, but the history.
And you think you don't. I've had people going, I just don't know, but it's pretty amazing how they can really search back, and the DAR has a huge database that has approved patriots. So if you can link your line to one of those people that's one of the approved patriots, and you may find relatives all over that you didn't know you had. So I don't want to say it's easy, but we do have people that will help, and it ends up being a fascinating search for most people.
Once you're able to actually nail down, okay, so this was an ancestor of mine and they served in this position, you know, once you know their name, sometimes you're able to find out that, oh, wow, they were quite famous for their role in history. And you may even learn stuff about them, you know, even at the Smithsonian. They may have something there that's related to you in some fashion.
It is. It's pretty interesting. I've actually one day just started, you know, messing around on the computer and found something that possibly might be a pretty interesting story about one of my ancestors. I haven't, you know, really proved it yet. I think that it's true, but if it is, it's pretty cool. It has you tied in to people you've heard about. So yeah. It's pretty fascinating. And a lot of ladies do love to get into it for that. And a lot of them, it's a service organization. Mm-hmm. And it was really, I don't know if you realize this, but it was started after the Civil War because they felt like things were not being preserved. We didn't have places to keep documents. So, and actually, originally the DAR ladies wanted to join the SAR, which is the Sons of American Revolution. They were voted no. You're not allowed to join us. So they formed their own organization, the Daughters of the American Revolution. One of the ladies said, well, weren't there no mothers? Were there no mothers of the Revolutionary soldiers and patriots? So that's how that all came about. But we're friends, and we work together now, the SAR and the DAR. So
again, we're talking with local attorney Karen Hudson about the Colonel Hardy Murphy. This is the local chapter, the Colonel Hardy Murphy chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution. That's a lot to say, right?
We call it DAR.
DAR, you know? Is a lot easier. But who was Colonel Hardy Murphy? Because I know that's a name that we hear a lot in Rutherford County.
Well, there's markers around here, and he was one of the... He's originally from North Carolina, and I believe got a land grant over here after the Revolution, as, you know, many soldiers were paid that way. And also... Captain William Lytle. There's a chapter here called the Captain William Lytle chapter, and so you've seen that name around here. And there's a marker here in Murfreesboro for that soldier also. And many of the chapters, well, really all of them, are named after some historical figure. It could be someone like ours is a soldier. It could be, I know my oldest daughter is in a chapter in Brentwood called the Sarah Polk chapter, which is named after the vice or the president's wife. So. It's just, and it could be a historical place. Yeah. You may have a location, or you may have an Indian name. So they're all historical names for these different chapters all over the country.
You know, it's interesting. James K. Polk's wife, Sarah, she would visit Murfreesboro often. And she there was a house that's still standing out on Rucker Lane. And I think they call it the Marymount Mansion. And she was friends with the doctor who lived there way back then. And so that's one of those interesting pieces of history. Yep. These folks were right here.
Yep, yep. And that's one of the things that we've done, and one of our activities is over at the Heritage Center. Mm-hmm. They've got a little brochure on, like, a historical walk you can take or drive with famous people in Rutherford County, and I think this one is particularly one on women. So we've done that a couple of Mays. We just do a little Rutherford County History Women's Walk and stop at some of these places that we all drive by, but we don't ever take time to stop and look at. So we've done that, and we've got a lot of, I guess, our new DAR year kind of starts now, and of course we celebrate all the patriotic things that are coming up, i.e. 4th of July.
I was going to mention that. Coming up this week, Thursday, in fact, at 9 a.m., you're going to be participating in reading the Declaration of Independence.
You know, a group of our ladies realized that, as far as we knew, that wasn't going on around here. Mm-hmm. And that was an important thing. I think we had heard that they did that in Philadelphia every 4th of July. And we thought, well, let's do that here. It's a very short document. And so we thought, we checked with the county mayor, and we have permission to be at the courthouse Thursday morning at 9. And we're going to have copies of the declaration for people to read. We're going to read it together and maybe a couple times. I'm not really sure how our chairman has got that worked out. We're going to have cookies, lemonade, so, you know, light snacks. She told me some posters of some revolutionary facts and pictures, and she's going to have some children's activities, just a really informal, small thing that possibly may grow someday. And then later that afternoon at the big Murfreesboro Celebration Under the Stars, for several years, our chapter has had a table, and we give out 1,000 flags, little flags for people. And so we'll be there doing that.
So again, you're going to be reading the Declaration of Independence this Thursday, 9 a.m., and this is going to be outside the Rutherford County Courthouse or
correct.
Inside?
Outside.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But 9 a.m. this coming Thursday. You know, it's funny. I like to say things wrong sometimes in front of people just to see if they're able to correct me and see if they know the true history or whatever. And sometimes if somebody asks me to sign something, I'll say something like, oh, you want my J. Hancock, just to see if they correct it and say, No, that's John Hancock or whatnot, and they never do. You know, it's usually those who are in their 20s. There's so much history that people, they didn't learn about in school. They haven't learned about today. Things as simple as that.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that I'm really proud of the DAR for doing. One thing we do for students is we have an American History Essay Contest every fall. And I don't know what the topic is this year yet, but last year I think it was on women's vote, which is coming up. The 100th anniversary is next year of when women received the right to vote. They also had a poster contest on the 50th lunar landing. So they always commemorate things like that, and they have like a Christopher Columbus essay contest. So they really do a lot with kids. Our chapter also has started a monthly meeting at the Boys and Girls Club, and we do what we call a Junior American Citizens Club, so to speak. And it's always on something about America.
Mm-hmm.
And different members of our chapter are taking the month and doing whatever they want to with it, and teaching the students that are coming to the Boys and Girls Club.
Now, I wanted to mention this about the Daughters of the American Revolution. That group or organization was founded back in 1890.
It was.
So, I mean, it was, you know, directly after the Revolution.
Yeah, well, after the Civil War. Because I think,
it was,
you know, and I had read about this, and they've got a lot of good online videos that you can learn a lot about the history of it. And a group of ladies said, what are we going to do with all these papers and things that we need to preserve? There's no place to put them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the founding of the DAR, and, you know, purchasing a lot in Washington and building, you know, a building which has since expanded.
Mm-hmm. And so there, in that building in Washington, D.C., that's where they keep a lot of the historical documents today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is.
Is it like a museum in some sections?
They have a museum, and I believe a lot of the things probably, I'm not sure about this, but a lot of these things have probably been maybe in the National Archives by now. I'm not sure on that. But because at the time when they started, there wasn't anything. But there's a museum there. There's also a beautiful Continental Congress Hall is what they call it. And they have concerts there. There have been government meetings there, you know, peace negotiations. It's a very beautiful building, open to the public. So if you're ever in Washington, D.C., you're welcome to go look through it.
You know, when people hear Daughters of the American Revolution, Sons of the Confederacy, all these different names for different groups and organizations, they may sometimes think without knowing about them, oh, it's a political group, but it's not.
It is not. No, it's, I mean, we specifically are nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. We aren't to mention any of that. Everybody can be their own, have their own political beliefs. It's never discussed at a meeting. We don't have programs on that. We don't identify ourselves with any parties at our meetings. So that's strictly nonpartisan.
And I think that's information that a lot of folks don't realize. I mean, it's an organization really to preserve history.
It is. And to serve, you know, to really get out there.
We don't have enough groups like that.
We don't. And I'm so happy that, like, for example, coming up in September, DAR was the motivating force, I believe, behind Constitution Week. That was found out that wasn't really being celebrated. And so I believe in the 50s, I'm not sure, I don't have my information right in front of me, but the Constitution Week was really pushed and talked to people in Congress about it. And now that's one of the major things that DAR does. We do, you'll see around the square and around town, we'll have signs up about Constitution Week. We put things in restaurants. We also have, you know, contests for kids. We have activities. We'll have displays at the library. We'll have displays at the Election Commission. You know, everywhere. Your station, we've gone on and talked on the radio on the Truman Show about Constitution Week, really promoting that and making sure people know about it. So that's one of our things coming up in September, and something that, like you just said, helping put that in the forefront of people's minds.
Again, Karen Hudson with us today, and she is the regent of the local chapter of the Colonel Hardy Murphy Organization. Do you say organization?
Chapter.
Chapter, okay. But this is part of the Daughters of the American Revolution, the DAR, which is, again, headquartered in Washington, D.C. And once more, coming up this coming Thursday, July 4th, the reading of the Declaration of Independence from the historic county courthouse right here on the square. And that's going to be 9 a.m.
Correct.
So people will just gather around and,
sure,
and listen,
yep,
to folks read it, I guess.
Sure, and participate themselves.
Okay, so how many folks do you expect to actually be there helping to read the Declaration?
Well, we'll have several of our members there.
Okay.
So we've never done this, Scott, so we'll just have to see. We're getting the word out and passing, you know, letting people know about it. I don't expect it's going to take very long. I'd say we'll be there 9 to 10-ish, as long as people want to be there. Marzie Woodward is our chairman, and she's got some great ideas. So I really see this growing over the years. So we're just going to be surprised at how many we have. We hope we have a little group there.
You know, I knew people in the past who would carry a copy of the Declaration of Independence around with them. I guess the main reason was to pull it out and say, oh, actually, no, this is, you know, but it's an interesting document that was, you know, dates back to 1776, I guess. And it's fascinating to read just to kind of, well, you get an idea of the mindset of people then, and you can really relate it to people today in a lot of ways.
You can. And you really you see what people were really putting their lives on the line for, you know, going considered treason, you know, to declare yourself independent from your mother country.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, today in school, do they focus much on the Declaration of Independence like they did even in the 1980s? Because I know in the 1980s, that was something that a lot of kids had to memorize, or they had to, you know, write something about it, things like that.
Well, I think that they probably, I know that they have curriculum standards year by year, and I believe there is a year somewhere in the high school years, possibly. I'm not a teacher, so I'm not up on that, but I know they have a year where they do things like that. But I also have heard in the public discourse, as you've probably heard, a real push for a return to some civics lessons in our schools. Not sure where that really is going or has gotten, but I've heard a lot of people seeing the need for that. And I know, I remember I had civics class in middle school when mm-hmm. I was growing up.
Well, I think it's important because, you know, if you don't really have focused lessons on history from the past, you're not going to know how to help shape the future. You're not, because I mean, these kids who are in school today, they're going to be our leaders someday. They're not going to know how to properly, I guess, move forward with the future if they don't know the roots of the past.
Right. I mean, I know a lot of people say history is boring, but I mean, it's really a story. I feel like the word story is in it.
It's true.
And I know that particularly in our Children of American Revolution meetings, we have a little more time than you would in school to really delve into some of this stuff. And I remember, now this has nothing to do with CAR or DAR, but when I was newly married, my husband and I took a trip to Virginia, just a vacation. And we went to, and I'd been to Yorktown and Williamsburg and all that as a kid, but we went again. And I think I was like in my late 20s. And I was sitting there and they were giving some kind of program about something. And they started talking about General Lafayette, and which I knew had been an aide, you know, from France to George Washington. I remember that part. They started talking about him being 21 years old. I couldn't believe it. I never got that when I was growing up, his age. And I thought, if they had told me that at 16 years old as a junior in high school, that this 21-year-old young man from France, you know, had come and helped with the revolution. I mean, I still remembered it, but I thought that would have been a powerful impact on me to go, he was 21? I mean, you see these pictures, you think they're old men, and they're not. They're not.
That's always fascinating to me, because the leaders back then were those who are, you know, in their 20s. Whereas today, it's hard to picture somebody in their 20s being a full leader of a military brigade of some kind. But back then, that was common.
Yeah, people assumed responsibility in a lot earlier time and out of necessity.
Yeah. But the history of America and just seeing how it formed is really interesting, especially if you go to places like Virginia, because there's so much history there. And what's surprising is that we have so much history right here in Tennessee, too.
We do. You know, just at, like, you know, the Stones River National Battlefield, mm-hmm. you know, which covers a lot of Civil War history, is a fascinating place. Something we'd like to work with over there with them. I've spoken to Jim Lewis over there. They are very interested, and we're very interested in helping them. They'd like to do a naturalization ceremony there. That's another thing that we help with is naturalized citizens. We do citizenship classes. We're getting ready to do that with Read to Succeed to help people learn the things that they need to do to become a citizen.
And I've never seen one. So
they're amazing. Yeah. I've been to two or three of them, and they are an amazing experience. One was very personal to, well, two of them I've been to. My next door neighbor was from South Africa. She became a citizen, and I surprised her at her ceremony. And then I worked with a couple that were Iraqi born mm-hmm. for 4 years and helped them, you know, get a little better. They were very good at English, but get better at reading and writing, and they learned all the stuff they needed for citizenship, and they became citizens April of 2018. And I went to their ceremony in Nashville, and it had tears in my eyes because I felt they were mine, you know?
So positive. And those folks who want to be, you know, full-blooded, if you would, U.S. citizens. I mean, they really want it.
They do. I mean, I encourage you to go, and I'll send you the dates of when they are. But they, you will see on their faces, and the judge always asks them to go through and say their name, what's their country of origin. And our DAR chapter is there giving them little flag lapel pins, and they get those. And as they go through and get their certificate, they get by and get, and then as they come through, they can come back and get their picture made with the judge, and almost every one of them will go, wait a minute, I want to put my pin on.
Yeah.
It means something to them.
And I hate to say this, but a lot of them are more patriotic than those who were born in America.
They know what they've come from. My Iraqi friends, Iraqi American now, they will say all the time, we love America. We love America. And their story to get here is amazing, what they did to get here.
Yeah. I mean, when you hear some of them talk about things they saw growing up, the war zones they lived in, I mean, I can't imagine that kind of life and the kind of trauma that they would have experienced growing up. Well, even psychologists here are not capable of handling that level of trauma whenever it comes to counseling or treating, because what they saw often was just overwhelming.
And they are so appreciative. I mean, my friend Zena, it just flows out of her all the time. She's been a citizen for over a year, and it's just like it's still new to her. She's just, you can just see the joy come out of her.
Well, I think this all ties in nicely with the Declaration of Independence, and that, again, the event coming up this Thursday, July 4th, 9 a.m., in front of the county courthouse, the reading of the Declaration of Independence. And you're going to have hopefully a lot of people out there listening and just learning.
That's right. That's right. We're just happy to commemorate that.
Again, our guest today has been Attorney Karen Hudson, and she is the regent of the local Colonel Hardy Murphy chapter of the DAR. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you, I guess, on Thursday morning at 9 in front of the county courthouse.
Thank you, Scott.